The reading is from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be prey for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped.
Thank you, Mavis. We join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. We've got a new puppy at home. Barney, our dear Cocker Spaniel, died last summer at the end of a long and, we like to think, happy life. He is, sorely missed. But as the weeks passed, we began to think about getting another dog, and to cut a long story short, Chester, a three-month-old cockapoo, cross between a spaniel and a poodle. He's already quite big for a puppy. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder whether his father was really a bear or a giraffe. Chester arrived a couple of weeks ago, and he really is, as you can see, delightfully, impossibly cute, and as lively and as boisterous as only a puppy can be. We've enrolled him in a training class, which means we're being trained probably as much, if not more, than him. And I wouldn't usually talk about family members in a sermon, but I'm not sure that Chester would mind very much. But the thing is, he exemplifies one of the two things about the parable that we've just been hearing very well. Chester is into everything. He jumps and gets anything he can in his mouth, and you need eyes in the back of your head. The other morning I was making some scrambled eggs, and I momentarily forgot that the box of eggs was on the side next to where I was preparing some others. And Chester jumped up, and in a flash, five eggs splattered all across the floor, and Chester, sitting next to it, enthusiastically chomping his way through the box into hundreds of small pieces. Sometimes he just goes after houseplants. Well, anything he can get his hand on. The other day he dislodged a box of sausage treats out of my pocket as we were both to go on a walk and wolfed them down. They were supposed to be his training treats. Sorry if I'm looking a little jaded. A day in Chester's company leaves us feeling quite exhausted. we're told it gets better. Someone said it's like having little children. No, it's not. It's easier than having little children in some ways. You can at least put Chester in his cage when he's playing up. I did suggest that to my two children, but they didn't seem to think it would have been a very good idea. It is harder than having little children because little children, as I can just about recall, don't eat houseplants. Anyway, one thing about the parable that Chester shows is want, need, desire, yearning. The kingdom of heaven, let's not quibble, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's gospel is, at least for our purposes, roughly equivalent to the kingdom of God in the other gospels. The kingdom of heaven is like, remember, like truth. The kingdom of heaven is like, there are two little parables here, one attached to the one that we heard about a man who buries his treasure in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field, like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Actually, not so much like the hidden treasure as like the desire for it. And not so much like the pearl itself, so much as like the looking for it, like the desire, the want, the need. Wanting something so much, nothing will stand in your way. Desiring so much that you are almost overwhelmed by the feelings of desire, just like Chester. Into everything, nothing will stop him. The training, we are told, we are reassured, will channel him away from things that he shouldn't have, like houseplants, towards things that he can have, sausages. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Now I know when you talk about my frequently used words, well, I know it goes on. It used to be counting numbers on the hymn board, but that isn't possible anymore. So I'm quite sure you sit there from time to time listening out for frequently repeated phrases. You know, as we speak, or down the centuries. I don't flatter myself. I don't suppose that that's much that is all that memorable. Not like the Donald. Make America great again. Beautiful. We're going to build a beautiful wall. Those beautiful students. Even last week, did you hear him talking about some gun-toting Texan Homeland Security official or other who was wearing a beautiful Stetson hat? Hand gestures. It goes on and on all over the internet. Pages and pages of photographs of Donald Trump's hand gestures, and it will no doubt multiply over the coming weeks and months. But when it comes to my frequent words, if ever it does, I know one word that you recognize will be yearning, used quite frequently, especially in Advent. Yearning for God. When was the last time you lay awake at night yearning for God? Like the psalm writer, because your love is better than life, my soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods. Sausages, perhaps. Maybe at the beginning of worship. We gather in the hope of God's presence. We come seeking out of a godless world. We come in faith with questions, hopes, and fears. We look to God who comes to us in Christ. We look to him to answer all our questions, to fulfill all our hopes, to calm all our fears. Did you say it out of duty? Did you say it just because it was on the sheet? Did you mean it? Do you yearn after God? Do you earnestly desire God? Do you thirst for God? Not very Tyndale, is it? Not very English. I am reminded of Dame Mary Warnock on Desert Island Discs a few years ago, saying how much she loved the passionate liturgy of the Church of England. Just that she didn't believe a word of it. There are plenty of churches around where raising hands, closing your eyes, murmuring with desire, longing to feel God's presence will be, if not required, then at least normal behavior. An earnest, intense, agonizing desire to get close to God, to see God in the sanctuary. It's what makes lots of religion tick these days. When was the last time you yearned like that? Like Chester. Enthusiastic, boundless desire, unstoppable. Please God, not unstoppable. Maddening, longing, wanting, needing, desiring. The man who buried his treasure in a field, the first of the two little parables, common practice in those days, apparently, to bury your field, it was considered to be much more secure than putting it in a bank. Maybe we should try it. The man who buried his treasure in a field, sometimes, not surprisingly perhaps, treasure got lost, and people would spend ages searching for what they had buried. I suppose you could have marked it, but then somebody else would know where you'd put it as well, wouldn't they? The man in Jesus' little story yearned, longed, agonized, searched until he found the treasure. The merchant in the story of the great pearl, we can imagine him perhaps going from stall to stall in the market or house to house, searching, looking high and low until he found a great pearl. The writer of Psalm 63. Imagine him, maybe he was a priest, prostrate in the sanctuary, overwhelmed by the majesty and the presence and the promise of God. The kingdom of heaven is like that, so we are to believe. Only not like the yearning and the longing and the desiring and the meticulous stall-by-stall searching, not like the agonizing in prayer, not like intense religiosity and devotion, nor actually like the treasure or even like the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like the finding, the joy. Joy. Remember that other little story in Luke's gospel? The woman who loses a precious coin and she searches high and low, and when she finds it, she runs and tells all her neighbors and asks them to join in her rejoicing. Rejoicing, overwhelming joy. That's the second thing. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the first thing, the longing, the desiring, the yearning. I think we do the writer of Psalm 63 a disservice if we think just in terms of some kind of intense religious experience. In those days, knowing the presence of God was tantamount. It was not just a spiritual thing, it was tantamount. It was indeed all of a piece with the life of the nation, with justice in Israel, with the existence of the land itself. It was, if we may dare say it, a kind of Donald Trump vision. It was about a nation under the protection of God, secure borders, well-behaved, great. That is what the psalm writer longed for, was longing for. Israel to be great again. Make America great again. Beautiful. The kingdom of heaven in the New Testament, different, but not so different really. Not just a nice, gooey, religious feeling about God, not just lively religion or even good old English calm religion, nor actually like a fantasy nation that dreams of being great again in this world. The kingdom of heaven was about the presence of God in a new land, a land ruled by justice and peace and love. That kingdom Jesus spoke about often, an upside-down kingdom. A kingdom in which every sinner and outsider and every peacemaker is welcome. A kingdom in which the first shall be last and the last shall be first. A kingdom for all who mourn. A kingdom for the poor in spirit. A kingdom for widows and lepers and women divorced by a word. Three words, actually. It's still happening in England today. A kingdom for people who hunger and thirst and yearn for righteousness. A kingdom for the merciful and the persecuted, for those who love their enemies, who pray in secret, who store up treasures in heaven, not in fields or in barns. A kingdom for people who do not worry about their life, who enter through the narrow gate, who build wisely on rock, not on sand, who live by faith. That's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It is all of a piece with the presence of God. You see, that's the first thing, and we should long for it and yearn for it and desire it above all things. And lie awake all night thinking about it. In an unjust, divided, dangerous world, like in a dry and weary land. And we can imagine them streaming towards it from all over. The refugees from the world's wounding ways, the downtrodden, the tortured, the abused. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, free. The wretched refuge of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. As it says somewhere. On the inscription on Ellis Island, actually, that welcomes some 12 million economic migrants and refugees into the United States in the 19th century. Now, to the second thing about the parable. It's found, that's the point of the parable, of these two parallel parables, the treasure has been found, the great pearl has been found. So, if you long for greatness and security and prosperity and some kind of purebred nationalism in this world, well, be careful what you wish for, is all I can say. It has been tried before often enough, and it always, but always, ends in tears. Close to Holocaust Memorial Day, we should not forget that it ended once in more than 6 million tears. I suspect it is what happens when a vision gets stuck in the Old Testament world, or rather a spiritualized, sanitized version of that world. But if you would long for not some spiritual gooey God, but God's kingdom, if you desire peace and make it, if you seek justice and are ready to die for it, if you love your enemies and thirst for righteousness and live for love and live by faith in the Jesus who died, was raised, and lives forever, it has been found. You have been found. You've got it. Your heart's desire. Like sausages, or houseplants, or a golden door.